This is Audible.
Sounds True presents The Way of the Superior Man, a spiritual guide to mastering the challenges of women, work, and sexual desire by David Data. Read by Cecil Archbold.
The Way of the Superior Man, a spiritual guide to mastering the challenges of women, work, and sexual desire. By David Data. Important caution. Although anyone may find the practices, disciplines, and understandings in this audiobook to be useful, it is made available with the understanding that neither the author nor the publisher are engaged in presenting specific medical, psychological, emotional, sexual or spiritual advice. Nor is anything in this audiobook intended to be a diagnosis, prescription, recommendation, or cure for any specific kind of medical, psychological, emotional, sexual, or spiritual problem. Each person has unique needs, and this audiobook cannot take these individual differences into account. Each person should engage in a program of treatment, prevention, cure, or general health only in consultation with a licensed, qualified physician, therapist, or other competent professional. Any person suffering from venereal disease or any local illness of his or her sexual organs or prostate gland should consult a medical doctor and a qualified instructor of sexual yoga before practicing the sexual methods described in this audiobook. With deepest gratitude to the intimate partners and teachers who have drenched my life with their love and wisdom. May this book serve the liberation of your true gifts so that countless multitudes of beings may benefit even more from your living and loving. Preface to the 20th Anniversary Edition. Today, 2 decades after this book was first published, The Way of the Superior Man is more relevant than ever. New styles of sexual expression are emerging as old roles for men and women are rapidly dissolving. In this new world, women are taking the lead. Men, no longer the sole breadwinner or the most purpose-driven member of the household, are rediscovering their worth, both in the world and in relationship. When a man's value is no longer measured by what he does, by his finances or social standing, how does he determine his worth? In our new world, a man's presence, his depth of awareness, is his most valuable asset. A man's worth can be found in his depth of being. A shallow man, easily perturbed and swayed, is worth less to his woman and his world than a man whose presence is deeply sourced. A profound and steady gaze conveys truth more than furtive eyes. Full, even breathing is trusted more than shallow, jittery gasps. A man grounded in the unfathomable mystery of life, in touch with death's vastness rather than merely flitting from one busy surface activity to another, is sourced in his depth. The way of the superior man is the way of deep gaze, breath, and purpose. It cannot be faked. Right now, you are knowing who you are at depth, or you are avoiding it. You are relaxing and embodying your soul's purpose on earth. Or you are resisting your calling. You are cultivating a steady yes toward this moment, even in the midst of death's ever-present mystery, or you are afraid to feel all and live as unknowable openness. Fear is lack of trust in now. Fear is saying no to some aspect of the present moment. The way of the superior man is the way of cultivating total trust in the reality that is living you right now. However vast it may be, reality is happening now, and it includes you. Feel what is, as it is, without resisting the boundless whole. Feeling all, saying yes to the entire now, you will know who you are. You will know yourself as the awake fullness of this entire moment, the very force of being. Identified with money or accomplishments, a man feels weak when he compares himself to others who have more. But when he knows himself to be self-radiant awareness, conscious and lit up, awakening as man, he blooms in perfect harmony with the immense energy of reality. The infinite force of now is his power and his presence. The way of the superior man is to realize your true strength by knowing who you are at depth right now. You learn to feel into awareness fully, so you know yourself as conscious presence. You grow to trust the alive fullness of this moment, appearing spontaneously as you and your experience. Your capacity to embody this profound force of presence in your gaze, breath, and action determines your perceived value, sexually and financially. Your woman and your world long for the authentic power of your awakened heart offered through your whole body. May your deepest gifts overflow in the way of the superior man. Preface to the 2004 edition. Originally, I wrote The Way of the Superior Man as a practical guide for men and their intimate lovers. I wanted to share with readers the lessons I had learned in life, specifically how a man can grow spiritually while passionately tussling with the challenges of women, work, and sexual desire. Now, years later, after sharing this work with thousands of men and women, straight and gay, single and coupled, I can confirm that the lessons presented in these chapters really produce results. And in today's world of rapid sexual and spiritual evolution, and thus confusion, these lessons may be more relevant than ever. One of the more important lessons is this. As evolving human beings, we can learn that mastery is an important phase to accomplish and pass through in this school of life where we are learning to love more artfully. Through the way described in this audiobook, I have learned to love a woman into light, earn as much money as I want doing what I love to do, and master the arts of sexual loving. You can too. And then you will open to your next lesson, made possible by your real growth, just as you have achieved and outgrown all of your interests up until now. What you loved as a child is less interesting to you now as an adult, and what occupies your attention now will cease too sooner or later. This growth is both natural and good. We are designed to outgrow everything, including our desire to experience and improve the realms of money, sex, and intimacy. The way of the superior man shows you how a man and his lover can learn the lessons necessary to grow to the next step, where the mind opens as feeling and the body is only light. There is a way to grow through these lessons too, I'm told, but first things first. Live completely. Know your deepest purpose. Give the gift you are born to give. Enjoy sex as a cosmic portal into love's wonders. Serve your friends so they may grow, and through the inevitable cycles of breathtaking success and gut-wrenching despair, when you have mastered and outgrown the challenges of women, work, and sexual desire, be willing to forget you were ever born. Eventually, and I'm telling you in advance, just like I was told, the way of the superior man renders obsolete everything that can be known or experienced. For now, start with what concerns you. I did. What my teachers in life required that I grow to understand. The path that worked for me as a man in a world of infinite possibilities is offered later in this audiobook. You will lay down your own path as you grow beyond your need to experience or know anything at all. So here's my summation for a new preface. Stop waiting. Feel everything. Love achingly. Give impeccably. Let go. repeat with whatever remains as long as you are moved to do so. This way dissolves wide open. Introduction. This book is a guide for a specific kind of newly evolving man. This man is unabashedly masculine. He is purposeful, confident, and directed, living his chosen way of life with deep integrity and humor. And he is sensitive, spontaneous, and spiritually alive, with a heart commitment to discovering and living his deepest truth. This kind of man is totally turned on by the feminine. He loves to take his woman sexually, to ravish her, but not in some old-style macho fashion. Rather, he wants to ravish her with so much love she is vanished. They both vanish in the fullness of loving itself. He is dedicated to incarnating love on this earth, through his work and his sexuality, and he does so as a free man, bound neither by outer convention nor inner cowardice. This newly evolving man is not a scared bully, posturing like some King Kong in charge of the universe, nor is he a New Age wimp, all spineless, smiley, and starry-eyed. He has embraced both his inner masculine and feminine, and he no longer holds on to either of them. He doesn't need to be right all the time, nor does he need to be always safe, cooperative, and sharing, like an androgynous Mr. Nice Guy. He simply lives from his deepest core, fearlessly giving his gifts, feeling through the fleeting moment into the openness of existence, totally committed to magnifying love. To help illuminate the purpose of the way of the superior man, I will draw on a few principles of sexuality and spiritual growth which are developed in my book, Intimate Communion. Until fairly recently, modern roles for men and women were fixed and separated. Men were supposed to go out and earn money. Women were supposed to stay home and take care of the kids. Men often manipulated their women through physical and financial dominance and threat. Women often manipulated their men through emotional and sexual strokes and stabs. The typical and extreme caricatures of this previous time are the macho jerk and the submissive housewife. If you are listening to this audiobook, you have probably outgrown this first stage of sexual identity, or at least you can smile about it. Next came, and is still coming, a stage in which men and women both sought to balance their inner masculine and feminine energies toward 50-50, becoming more like one another. For instance, in the United States in the 1960s, men began to emphasize their inner feminine. They learned to go with the flow. They let go of their rigid, one-dimensional masculine stance and embraced long hair, colorful clothes, nature, music, and a more carefree and sensual lifestyle, all means of embellishing or magnifying radiance, energy, and the abundant force of life, magnifying the feminine. Meanwhile, many women were doing just the opposite. They were magnifying their inner masculine, which, at the level of human character, appears as direction or clarity of purpose and vision. Women gained financial and political independence. They strengthened their careers, focused more on personal long-term goals, went to school in increasing numbers for advanced degrees, and learned to be more assertive in their needs and desires. Chances are, if you are listening to this audiobook, you are more balanced than your parents were. If you are a woman, you are probably more independent and assertive than your mother was. If you are a man, you are probably more emotionally expressive and open-minded than your father was. Or at least such qualities seem acceptable to you, even if you don't express them yourself. Remember, not that many years ago, a man who got his hair styled or a woman who wore a business suit was often considered suspect. It was a good thing as time progressed for men to embrace their inner feminine and women to embrace their inner masculine. They became less fragmented and more whole in the process. They became less dependent on each other. Men could indeed change diapers, and women were completely capable of emptying the mousetraps. Macho men became more loose and feeling. Submissive housewives became more independent and directed. In terms of social roles, men and women became more similar. This was an improvement for everyone. But this 50-50 stage is only a second and intermediate stage of growth for men and women, not an endpoint. Side effects of this trend towards sexual similarity can be seen as a major cause of today's unhappiness and intimacy. The trend toward 50-50 has resulted in economic and social equality, but also in sexual neutrality. Bank accounts are balancing while passions are fizzling out. Men are less macho, while sex and violence continue to increase on TV and in the movies. Women are more in control of their economic destiny, while they go in increasing numbers to therapists and doctors to cope with stress-related disease. Why is this happening? In my workshops and consultations, I hear independent and successful women complaining that many of today's men have become wimps, too weak and ambiguous to really trust. Sensitive and affectionate men are complaining that many of today's women have become ball busters, too hardened and emotionally guarded to fully embrace. Is this the ultimate expression of human sexual wisdom and evolution? Or is there another step to take? To answer these questions, we need to understand the nature of sexual passion and spiritual openness. Sexual attraction is based on sexual polarity, which is the force of passion that arcs between masculine and feminine poles. All natural forces flow between two poles. The north and south poles of the earth create a force of magnetism. The positive and negative poles of your electrical outlet or car battery create an electrical flow. In the same way, masculine and feminine poles between people create the flow of sexual feeling. This is sexual polarity. This force of attraction, which flows between the two different poles of masculine and feminine, is the dynamism that often disappears in modern relationships. If you want real passion, you need a ravisher and a ravishee. Otherwise, you just have two buddies who decide to rub genitals in bed. Each of us, man or woman, possess both inner masculine and inner feminine qualities. Men can wear earrings, tenderly hug each other, and dance ecstatically in the woods. Women can change the oil in the car, accumulate political and financial power, and box in the ring. Men can take care of their children. Women can fight for their country. We have proven these things. Just about anyone can animate either masculine or feminine energy in any particular moment, although they still might have a strong preference to do one or the other, which we will get to in a moment. The bottom line of today's newly emerging 50-50, or second stage, relationship is this. If men and women are clinging to a politically correct sameness, even in moments of intimacy, then sexual attraction disappears. I don't mean just the desire for intercourse, but the juice of the entire relationship begins to dry up. The love may still be strong, the friendship may still be strong, but the sexual polarity fades, unless in moments of intimacy, one partner is willing to play the masculine pole and one partner is willing to play the feminine. You have to animate the masculine and feminine differences if you want to play in the field of sexual passion. This is true in homosexual as well as heterosexual relationships. Actually, the gay and lesbian community is acutely aware that sexual polarity is independent of gender. But you still need two poles for a passionate play of sexuality to persist in a relationship. Masculine and feminine. Top and bottom. Butch and femme. Whatever you want to call these reciprocal poles of sexual play. It is up to you. You can have a loving friendship between two similars, but you need a more masculine and a more feminine partner in the moments when you want strong sexual polarity. It doesn't matter if both partners are men or both are women. It doesn't matter if in a heterosexual relationship, the man plays the feminine pole and the woman plays the masculine pole. It doesn't matter if you change every day who plays the masculine pole and who plays the feminine pole. For sexual polarity, you need an energetic polarity, an attractive difference between masculine and feminine. You don't need this difference for love, but you do need it for ongoing sexual passion. For some people who have what I call a more balanced sexual essence, sexual polarity doesn't really matter. They don't really want much passion and intimacy. They don't want a loving tussle of full sexual inspiration and innuendo. They would rather have a civilized friendship, full of love and human sharing, without the passionate ups and downs. And for these people, this audiobook will be irrelevant, possibly even offensive. This book is written specifically for people who have a more masculine sexual essence, and their lovers who will have a more feminine sexual essence, since you always attract your sexual reciprocal. These people can't help but be attracted into relationships based on difference, for better or for worse. Your sexual essence is your sexual core. If you have a more masculine sexual essence, you would, of course, enjoy staying home and playing with the kids. But deep down, you are driven by a sense of mission. You may not know your mission, but unless you discover this deep purpose and live it fully, your life will feel empty at its core, even if your intimate relationship and family life are full of love. If you have a more feminine sexual essence, your professional life may be incredibly successful, but your core won't be fulfilled unless love is flowing fully in your family or intimate life. The mission, or the search for freedom, is the priority of the masculine, whereas the search for love is the priority of the feminine. This is why people with masculine essences would rather watch a football game or a boxing match on TV than a love story. Sports are all about achieving freedom, such as breaking free of your opponent's tackle or barrage of punches, and about succeeding at your mission by carrying the ball into the end zone or remaining standing after 10 rounds. For the masculine, mission, competition, and putting it all on the line, indeed, facing death, are all forms of ecstasy. Witness the masculine popularity of war stories, dangerous heroism, and sports playoffs. But for the feminine, the search for love touches the core, whether on soap operas, in love stories, or talking with friends about relationships. The desire for love is what appears in feminine forms of entertainment. The feminine wants to be filled with love, and if the bliss of real love is not forthcoming, chocolate and ice cream or a good romantic drama will do. The masculine wants to feel the bliss of a life lived at the edge, and if he doesn't have the balls to do it himself, he'll watch it on TV, in sporting events, and cop shows. Even happy and fulfilled men and women find it enjoyable to watch sports and eat ice cream, of course. I'm just trying to make a point. Even though all people have both masculine and feminine qualities that they could use at any moment, to kick corporate ass or nurture children, for instance, most men and women also have a more masculine or feminine core. And this shows up in their regularly chosen entertainments as much as in their preferred sexual play. Think about it. Would you rather that your sexual partner was physically stronger than you, or would you prefer to feel your lover's physical vulnerability? Which would turn you on more, to pin your partner on the bed below you, or to be pinned below your partner? To be swept off your feet by a sensitive and strong lover, or to feel your lover surrender, swooning in your arms? You may want both at different times, but most often, which turns you on more? Or does each of these alternatives turn you on just the same? That is, are you just as turned on by a sexual partner who is physically weaker than you as by one who is stronger, or exactly the same strength? Most people, about 90% in my experience, seem to have a definite preference. They definitely either prefer that their partner kills the cockroach crawling toward them, or they're fine with doing the crunchy job themselves, perhaps with sporting fervor. Most people clearly favor watching a romantic love story on TV to a bloody boxing match, or vice versa. They might be able to enjoy both at times, but their core becomes more emotionally involved in one or the other. If you have ever seen a group of masculine people watching a Super Bowl game, you know just how emotional the masculine core becomes while beholding a good mission of people living at their edge and giving their gifts, or getting slaughtered for failing. So, about 90% of people have either a more masculine or a more feminine sexual essence. Passionately, lovingly, and fiercely, they would like to be ravished by or to ravish their intimate partner at least some of the time, in addition to having a loving friendship. This holds true for homosexual and heterosexual people alike. About 10% of people, men and women, heterosexual and homosexual, have a more balanced essence. Boxing matches and love stories equally make them emotional, or not. It doesn't really matter to them whether their lover is physically stronger or more vulnerable than them. sexual polarity just isn't that important to them, in relationships anyway. Regardless of gender or sexual orientation, if you want to experience deep spiritual and sexual fulfillment, you must know your natural sexual essence, masculine, feminine, or balanced, and live true to it. You can't deny your true sexual essence by covering it with layers of false energy for years, and then expect to know your authentic purpose and be free in the flow of love. This audiobook is a guide to shedding pretense and living true to your core, specifically for people who have a masculine sexual essence and their feminine essence lovers who have to deal with them. In a well-intentioned effort to provide equal opportunity and rights for men and women, many people are inadvertently squashing their true sexual essence. They don't have to. It's certainly possible to provide equality while also living true to your masculine or feminine core. But most people don't, so they suffer. Most people are forgetting that the sameness that works in the office does not work in intimacy for about 90% of couples. Those couples composed of partners with masculine and feminine essences rather than balanced essences. If sexual passion is to flow in these polarized intimacies, masculine and feminine differences should be magnified, not diminished in moments of intimacy. When these polarities are lessened due to family and work obligations, sexual attraction is diminished, along with spiritual depth and physical health. Stressing your masculine or feminine essence into a falsely balanced persona affects virtually every part of you. Many people with true feminine essences manifest a whole range of disturbed physiological symptoms as their feminine energy dries up due to running excess masculine energy through their body year after year in order to fit into the masculine style of work. And many people with masculine essences seeking to fit in with their feminine style of cooperation and energy flow disconnect from their sense of life purpose and inhibit their deep truth, afraid of the consequences of being authentic to their own masculine core. Hence, the frequent complaints about too many ball busters and wimps. Furthermore, when you deny your true core, you deny the possibility of true and real love. Love is openness, through and through, and true spirituality is the practice of love, the practice of openness. A person who denies their own essence and hides their true desires is divided and unable to relax into the full openness of love. Their spirit becomes cramped and kinked, unable to feel the natural ease and unconstrained power of their own core. They feel threatened and frightened. This fear is the texture of their inability to open fully in love. Such a person is spiritually handicapped, obstructed at heart, even though they may have achieved a safe relationship and a successful career. So as a culture, we have advanced in terms of personal freedom, sexual equality, and social rights, but we have remained spiritually thwarted and afraid. For the sake of individual autonomy and social fairness, with only good intentions in mind, we have erroneously begun to deny, smooth out, and neutralize our masculine and feminine differences. In doing so, people often end up denying their deepest core desires, which are rooted in their true sexual essence. A lot of people today think they have a balanced sexual essence, but in most cases, they are actually suppressing the natural desires which spring from their real masculine or feminine core. It is important to admit what is real if you are going to really deal with your life. The way of the superior man focuses on many of these issues, which we often sidestep or deny. For example, if you truly have a balanced sexual essence, then you are just not that sexually distracted by anyone. But if you are, for instance, a heterosexual man with a true masculine sexual essence, then you will be more or less constantly sexually attracted to feminine women you see all day, at the workplace and on the street, to married women as well as teenage girls. As long as they shine the feminine light, you will feel the pull. How do you turn this potential sexual problem into a spiritual gift? If you have a masculine sexual essence, then you would probably admit, if you were being brutally honest, that your intimate relationship is just not as important as the mission in your life. But you still want a full and energetic intimate relationship, perhaps quite badly. How do you deal with this often misunderstood dilemma? To answer questions such as these as clearly as possible, I have chosen to write this book as a speaking to the most common case of a masculine sexual essence, a heterosexual man with a masculine sexual essence. As I've said, there are many other possible arrangements of gender, essence, and sexual preference. You could, for instance, be a heterosexual woman with a masculine essence married to a man with a feminine essence, or a homosexual man with a masculine essence married to a man with a feminine essence, and the principles in this audiobook would still apply to you. But I trust the listener to make the appropriate adjustment in wording for his or her own unique case, if it is different from this most common one. I suppose the book could have been called The Way of the Superior Person with a Masculine Essence, but the whole thing would become unwieldy if I tried to unfold every possible permutation of he and she and masculine sexual essence and balanced sexual essence and feminine sexual essence in every possible heterosexual, bisexual, and homosexual relationship. In the end, I opted for simplicity. You can add the permutations yourself. If you or your partner has a masculine sexual essence, regardless of anatomy, gender, or sexual preference, this audiobook will help you clarify your life and enable you to give your deepest gifts, personally and at work, sexually and spiritually. The Way of the Superior Man is a book written explicitly for people who have already achieved respect for other genders and sexual preferences, and who consider men and women to be social, economic, and political equals. Now, we are ready to move to the next stage, grounded in this mutual respect and equality, but celebrating the sexual and spiritual passions inherent in the masculine-feminine polarity. It is time to evolve beyond the macho jerk ideal, all spine and no heart. It is also time to evolve beyond the sensitive, caring wimp ideal, all heart and no spine. Heart and spine must be united in a single man, and then gone beyond in the fullest expression of love and consciousness possible, which requires a deep relaxation into the infinite openness of this present moment. And this takes a new kind of guts. This is The Way of the Superior Man. Part 1. A Man's Way. Chapter 1. Stop hoping for a completion of anything in life. Most men make the error of thinking that one day it will be done. They think, if I can work enough, then one day I could rest. Or, one day my woman will understand something, and then she will stop complaining. Or, I'm only doing this now so that one day I can do what I really want with my life. The masculine error is to think that eventually things will be different in some fundamental way. They won't. It never ends. As long as life continues, the creative challenge is to tussle, play, and make love with the present moment while giving your unique gift. It's never going to be over, so stop waiting for the good stuff. As of now, spend a minimum of 1 hour a day doing whatever you are waiting to do until your finances are more secure, or until the children have grown and left home, or until you have finished your obligations and you feel free to do what you really want to do. Don't wait any longer. Don't believe in the myth of one day when everything will be different. Do what you love to do, what you are waiting to do, what you have been born to do now. Spend at least 1 hour a day doing whatever you simply love to do, what you deeply feel you need to do in your heart, in spite of the daily duties that seem to constrain you. However, be forewarned, you may discover that you don't or can't do it, that in fact your fantasy of your future life is simply a fantasy. Most postponements are excuses for a lack of creative discipline. Limited money and family obligations have never stopped a man who really wanted to do something, although they provide excuses for a man who is not really up to the creative challenge in the first place. Find out today whether you are willing to do what it takes to give your gift fully. As a first step, spend at least an hour today giving your fullest gift, whatever that is for today, so that when you go to sleep at night, you know you couldn't have lived your day with more courage, creativity, and giving. In addition to the myth that one day your life will be fundamentally different, you may believe and hope that one day your woman will be fundamentally different. Don't wait. Assume she's going to be however she is, forever. If your woman's behavior or mood is truly intolerable to you, you should leave her, and don't look back, since you cannot change her. However, if you find her behavior or mood merely distasteful or a hassle, realize that she will always seem this way. The feminine always seems chaotic and complicated from the perspective of the masculine. The next time you notice yourself trying to fix your woman so that she will no longer fill in the blank, relax and give her love by touching her and telling her that you love her when she is this way, whatever you filled in the blank with. Embrace her, or wrestle with her, or scream and yell for the heck of it, but make no effort to bring an end to that which pisses you off. Practice love instead of trying to bring an end to the quality that bothers you. You can't escape the tussle with the feminine. Learn to find humor in the unending emotional drama the feminine seems to enjoy so much. The love that you magnify may realign her behavior, but your effort to fix her and your frustration never will. The world and your woman will always present you with unforeseen challenges. You are either living fully, giving your gift in the midst of those challenges, even today, or you are waiting for an imaginary future which will never come. Men who have lived significant lives are men who never waited, not for money, security, ease, or women. Feel what you want to give most as a gift to your woman and to the world, and do what you can to give it today. Every moment waited is a moment wasted, and each wasted moment degrades your clarity of purpose. Chapter 2. Live with an open heart, even if it hurts. Closing down in the midst of pain is a denial of a man's true nature. A superior man is free in feeling and action, even amidst great pain and hurt. If necessary, a man should live with a hurting heart rather than a closed one. He should learn to stay in the wound of pain and act with spontaneous skill and love even from that place. Imagine failing at a major project, lying to your woman and getting caught, or overhearing her joke about your shortcomings in bed. How do you react with your body, breath, and eyes? Notice if you react to a person or situation that hurts you by withdrawing, hiding, or closing in on yourself. Notice if there are times when you find it difficult to look into someone's eyes, or times when your chest and solar plexus become tense and contracted. These are signs of an unskillful reaction to hurt. Contracted and closed in on yourself, you are unable to act. You are trapped in your own self-protective tension, no longer a free man. The superior man practices opening during these times of automatic closure. Open the front of your body so your chest and solar plexus are not tense. Sit or stand up straight and full, opening the front of your body, softening your chest and belly, wide and free. Breathe down through your chest and solar plexus, deep into your belly. Look directly into the eyes of whomever you are with, feeling your own pain as well as feeling the other person. Only when the front of your body is relaxed and opened, your breath full and deep, and your gaze unguarded and directly connected with another person's eyes, can your fullest intelligence manifest spontaneously in the situation. To act as a superior man, a samurai of relationship, you must feel the entire situation with your whole body. A closed body is unable to sense subtle cues and signals, and therefore unable to act with mastery in the situation. Chapter 3. Live as if your father were dead. A man must love his father, and yet be free of his father's expectations and criticisms in order to be a free man. Imagine that your father has died, or remember when he did die. Are there any feelings of relief associated with his death? Now that he is dead, is any part of you happy that you need not live up to his expectations or suffer his criticisms? How would you have lived your life differently if you had never tried to please your father? if you never tried to show your father that you were worthy, if you never felt burdened by your father's critical eye. For the next 3 days, do at least one activity a day that you have avoided or suppressed because of the influence of your father. In this way, practice being free of his subtle expectations, which may now reside within your own self-judgment. Practice being free in this way once each day for 3 days, even if you still feel fearful, limited, unworthy, or burdened by your father's expectations. Chapter 4. Know your real edge, and don't fake it. It is honorable for a man to admit his fears, resistance, and edge of practice. It is simply true that each man has his limit, his capacity for growth, and his destiny. But it is dishonorable for him to lie to himself or others about his real place. He shouldn't pretend he is more enlightened than he is, nor should he stop short of his actual edge. The more a man is playing his real edge, the more valuable he is as good company for other men, the more he can be trusted to be authentic and fully present. Where a man's edge is located is less important than whether he is actually living his edge in truth, rather than being lazy or deluded. Pick an area of your life, perhaps your intimate relationship, your career, your relationship with your children, or your spiritual practice. For instance, you are currently doing something to earn a living. Where do your fears stop you from making a larger contribution to mankind, from earning a higher income, or from earning money in a more creative and enjoyable way? If you were absolutely fearless, would you be earning a living in exactly the same way as you are now? Your edge is where you stop short, or where you compromise your fullest gift, and instead cater to your fears. Have you lost touch with the fears that are limiting and shaping your income and style of livelihood? If you have deluded yourself and feel that you are not afraid, then you are lying to yourself. All men are afraid, unless they are perfectly free. If you cannot admit this, you are pretending to yourself and to others. Your friends will feel your fear, even if you do not. Thus, they will lose trust in you, knowing you are deluding yourself, lying to yourself, and are therefore likely to lie to them, consciously or unconsciously. Or perhaps you are very aware of your fears, your fear to take risks, your fear of failing, or your fear of succeeding. Perhaps you are comfortable with your life, and you fear the lifestyle change that might accompany a change in career, even though the new career will be closer to what you really want to do with your life. Some men fear the feeling of fear, and therefore don't even approach their edge. They choose a job they know they can do well and easily, and don't even approach the fullest giving of their gift. Their lives are relatively secure and comfortable, but dead. They lack the aliveness, the depth, and the inspirational energy that is the sign of a man living at his edge. If you are this kind of man who is hanging back, working hard perhaps, but not at your real edge, other men will not be able to trust that you can and will help them live at their edge and give their fullest gift. As an experiment, describe your edge with respect to your career out loud to yourself. Say something like, "I know I could be earning more money, but I am too lazy to put in the extra hours it would take. I know that I could give more of my true gift, but I am afraid that I may not succeed, and then I will be a penniless failure. I've spent 15 years developing my career, and I'm afraid to let go of it and start fresh, even though I know that I spend most of my life doing things I have no real interest in doing. I could be making money in more creative ways, but I spend too much time watching TV rather than being creative." Honor your edge. Honor your choices. Be honest with yourself about them. Be honest with your friends about them. A fearful man who knows he is fearful is far more trustable than a fearful man who isn't aware of his fear. And a fearful man who still leans into his fear, living at his edge and putting his gift out from there, is more trustworthy and more inspirational than a fearful man who hangs back in the comfort zone, unwilling to even experience his fear on a day-to-day level. A free man is free to acknowledge his fears without hiding them or hiding from them. Live with your lips pressed against your fears, kissing your fears, neither pulling back nor aggressively violating them. Chapter 5. Always hold to your deepest realization. Eternity must be a man's home, moment by moment. Without it, he is lost, always striving, grasping at puffs of smoke. A man must do anything necessary to glimpse and then stabilize this ever-fresh realization and organize his life around it. Make your life an ongoing process of being who you are at your deepest, most easeful levels of being. Everything other than this process is secondary. Your job, your children, your wife, your money, your artistic creations, your pleasures. They are all superficial and empty if they are not floating in the deep sea of your conscious loving. How many hours today was your attention focused in the realm of changes, on events, people, thoughts, and experiences? And how often was your attention relaxed into its source? Where is your attention right now? Can you feel its source? Even for a moment, can you feel that which makes attention conscious and aware? Can you feel the deepest nature of attention? What happens when you simply, effortlessly, allow attention to subside into its source? This source is never changing and always present. It is the constant, silent tone behind and pervading the music of life. Feel into this source as deeply as possible, and then reapproach your work, intimacy, family, and creative efforts. When you make money from this source. Find out what happens to the details of your life when you live more consistently from this source. Use aids to support your relaxation into and creation from this source. Read books that remind you of who you are, in truth. Spend time with people who inspire and reflect the source to you. Meditate, contemplate, or pray daily so that you steep yourself in this source. If you are like most men, you have strong habits that rivet your attention to the events and tasks of the day. Days and nights fly by for years, and life slips through your fingers, your attention absorbed into the seeming world of necessary responsibilities. But all of it is empty if we do not live our responsibilities as expressions of our depth of being and heart truth. Know eternity. Do whatever it takes. And from this depth of being, live the details of your life. But if you postpone the process of submerging yourself in the source for the sake of taking care of business first, your life will be spent in hours and days of business, and then it will be gone. Only if you are well grounded in that which is larger than life will you be able to play life with humor, knowing that each task is a mirage of necessity. Even if you find yourself in some trivial moment, watching TV or cleaning up a mess in the kitchen, feel the truth of who you are. Feel the boundless cognizance in which each instant seems and vanishes. All moments are the same intensity of clarity, completeness, and humor when you meet each moment with your deepest realization. Nothing that has ever happened has made any difference to the one who you are. Chapter 6. Never change your mind just to please a woman. If a woman suggests something that changes a man's perspective, then he should make a new decision based on his new perspective. But he should never betray his own deepest knowledge and intuition in order to please his woman or go along with her. Both she and he will be weakened by such an action. They will grow to resent each other, and the crust of accumulated inauthenticity will burden their love, as well as their capacity for free action. You should always listen to your woman, and then make your own decision. If you choose to go with your woman's suggestion, even when deep in your heart you feel that another decision is more wise, you are, in effect, saying, "I don't trust my own wisdom." You are weakening yourself by telling yourself this. You are weakening your woman's trust in you. Why should she trust your wisdom if you don't? When you deny your deep truth to please your woman, everyone will feel your lack of authenticity. They will sense that your false smile hides an inner division. Your friends, children, and business colleagues may love you, but they won't trust you, since you don't trust your own core intent. And more importantly, your own sense of inauthenticity will burden your capacity to act with clarity. your actions won't jibe with your core. However, if you listen to your woman, taking everything she says into account and making your own best decision, then you are acting in accordance with your core. You are saying, in effect, "My deepest wisdom is leading me to this decision. If I am wrong, I will learn from it, and my wisdom will have deepened. I'm willing to be wrong and grow from it. I trust this process of acting from my deepest wisdom." This attitude of self-trust engenders others' trust in you. You may be wrong, but you are willing to find out, and thus grow from the experience. You are open to listening to others, but in the end, you will take the responsibility for making your own decision. There is nobody else to blame. However, if you give up your real decision to follow your woman's, then you will blame her for being wrong if she is wrong, and you will feel disempowered if she is right, having denied yourself the opportunity to act from your core and grow from your mistakes. Be open to changing your feeling based on whatever your woman might reveal to you, through her words or her body language, and then make your own decision based on your deepest intuitive wisdom and knowledge. You may make the right decision or the wrong one, but whatever happens, it is your best shot, and you will strengthen your capacity for future action. Chapter 7. Your purpose must come before your relationship. Every man knows that his highest purpose in life cannot be reduced to any particular relationship. If a man prioritizes his relationship over his highest purpose, he weakens himself, disserves the universe, and cheats his woman of an authentic man who can offer her full, undivided presence. Admit to yourself that if you had to choose one or the other, the perfect intimate relationship or achieving your highest purpose in life, you would choose to succeed at your purpose. Just this self-knowledge often relieves much pressure a man feels to prioritize his relationship when, in fact, it is not his highest priority. Your mission is your priority. Unless you know your mission and have aligned your life to it, your core will feel empty. Your presence in the world will be weakened, as will your presence with your intimate partner. The next time you notice yourself giving in to your woman, postponing your mission and denying your true purpose in order to spend time with her, stop. Tell your woman that you love her, but you cannot deny your heart's purpose. Tell her that you will spend 30 minutes or some specific time with her in absolute attention and total presence, but then you must return to carry on your mission. Your woman will be more fulfilled with 30 minutes a day of undivided attention and ravishing love than she will with a few hours of your weak and divided presence when your heart really isn't into it. Time you spend with your woman should be time you really want to be with her, more than anything else. If you'd rather be doing something else, she'll feel it. Both of you will be dissatisfied. Chapter 8. Lean just beyond your edge. In any given moment, a man's growth is optimized if he leans just beyond his edge, his capacity, his fear. He should not be too lazy, happily stagnating in the zone of security and comfort. Nor should he push far beyond his edge, stressing himself unnecessarily, unable to metabolize his experience. He should lean just slightly beyond the edge of fear and discomfort, constantly, in everything he does. Once you are honest with yourself about your real edge, it is best to lean just beyond it. Very few men have the guts for this practice. Most men either